John chapter 20. I'm going to read 16 verses tonight. I know that's a lot. So if you get tired and weary and you're well doing, just feel free to sit in the middle of it. It don't make no difference to me. And I went back and forth with this. I didn't really want to read that much, but I know that's what God would have for us. So that's just what I'm going to do. If you'd stand for the reading of the Word of God when you find your place. John chapter 20, starting in verse 1, we're going to go to verse 16. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stood down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And this is our message tonight. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. The title of my message tonight is, Do You Recognize Him? Do you recognize him? Dear Heavenly Father, God, you know how nervous I am tonight. Lord, I pray that you take it away from me. God, I pray that you touch me this evening. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to preach like I've never preached before. God, I pray you touch my mouth, that you fill my mouth as you did for Jeremiah. God, let me not to count their faces tonight. Lord, but let me see you and you only. Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross tonight. God, give me the right words to say to these people that stand before me. Lord, help me to preach as if this is my last time that I'll ever get to preach. Lord, I thank you and I love you this evening. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't doubt that we all know where we're at in the Bible tonight. This is taking place after the crucifixion and after the burial of Jesus. And I went back and forth with this today. I was standing in the shower probably second-guessing myself, but it's been on my heart all week to preach just a little bit on Calvary tonight. And I got to arguing with myself in the shower, and I think it was the devil wearing on me that you don't need to preach that. It's not really part of the message. It don't go exactly with the message. It don't really fit in, and you just probably should leave it out. I think there's probably a place to preach on Calvary in every message.
Yes.
And I'm guilty, and I'll just preach to myself, but I'm guilty of when I try to go to witness to somebody, and I try and tell them about Jesus, and God help me, I'm trying to just to do the best I can and tell them the best that I know, but I'll say something that goes along the lines of this. God sent his son named Jesus. He died on the cross for you and me. He died for your sins, and he died for mine. And if you believe in him, you can be saved. But it's been on my heart that it's so much more than just he died at Calvary. He done a lot more than die on Calvary. They didn't take anything from him on Calvary, but he gave it all. He made the sacrifice. He sacrificed the only thing that would hold up to the job. He's the only one that could fit the shoes. That's the only thing, that's the only person that could have done the job. But they didn't take anything from him. And I say that all the time. Jesus died for our sins, and that's enough. Don't get me wrong. That would be enough. If the story started there and it ended there, that would be enough. It would be sufficient. But it was more than that. And I would never try and re-preach it. I hope you understand that by now. But our preacher painted such a perfect picture for us a couple weeks ago of exactly what went on at Calvary. And Maddox, it broke my heart too. It makes me want to cry. But it's not a sad thing. It's not a sad thing. That's where we get our joy and that's where we get our peace. Because he loved me and you enough to go through that for us. They didn't force him to do it. They didn't twist his arm to do it. But he done it under his own will and his own power. He done it because he loved us. But that's where we're at in the scripture tonight. This is taking place after the crucifixion of Jesus, after the trip to Calvary, and after the burial of Jesus. Joseph and Nicodemus buried Jesus, and this is taking place 3 days after. So we come to our text tonight, and we find a woman named Mary Magdalene. And the reason she has come to this tomb, she's come back to the body of Jesus, is to anoint Jesus. To do the thing that was probably culturally correct in that time. She come with good intentions. But that's what she had come to do. She came to anoint the body of Jesus. That's what Luke chapter 8 tells us. So who is Mary Magdalene? I've got wrote down over here a couple things. Mary Magdalene was a follower of Jesus. Luke chapter 8 tells us she went to every city and every village that he went to. She followed Jesus. She followed where he went. Mary Magdalene was the same lady that Jesus had cast out 7 devils from her. That leads me to believe that Mary Magdalene was a believer of Jesus Christ. She believed in him. Same scripture, Luke chapter 8, also tells us that she ministered unto him of her own substance. Whether that means her money or her labor, I'm not really sure, but she was a supporter of Jesus. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is she knew who Jesus was. She knew who he was spiritually, and she knew what he looked like. She had seen this man in human form. She had also been there at the crucifixion. Mary was present when Jesus died. So all I'm trying to tell you tonight is Mary knew exactly who Jesus was. She knew what he looked like. She knew who Jesus was. So she comes back to the tomb. She comes to anoint Jesus' body. And we all know that, praise the Lord, there's nothing there. She couldn't find his body. And she runs back and she tells John and she tells Peter. So I've got just a couple of things tonight to encourage you, I suppose, on a couple of ways. Number one, what's going to keep us from being able to recognize Jesus. And like our pastor says, I'll try not to cut you open, so I'll mend the wound with how we can recognize Jesus. But I want to tell you first, I'm not trying to scientifically divide why she literally could not recognize Jesus. Does that make sense? It says, and she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. I'm not here to tell you why that is. That's not what I'm trying to say tonight. I will tell you what God showed me in my study. And it's this. When I got this message a month or two ago, it was about a month ago, and I began to pray over it and study over it, and I'll just be real honest with you, a lot of times when I pray and I get serious about my prayer, I don't cry. I wish I did, I guess, but I don't. But when I was studying over this message and I was praying over this message and I was in my prayer place and I began to pray and beg God to bless this message and to make this message His and just to make me a deliverer of it, I began to cry and I began to weep in my prayer time. And the very second that I opened my eyes, I was in my own basement, but I couldn't see anything. I couldn't make out anything 2 feet in front of me. And so this is my opinion. This is not found in your Bible. But if I had to guess, and this is what God's put in my heart, I would probably make the assumption that that's probably what was happening with Mary. That she was so distraught, she was crying so much, that her eyes were filled with tears, that she may have not physically been able to see who was standing in front of her. But I just want to make that clear tonight, that these points that I have for you, I'm not picking on Mary. I'm not telling you why she couldn't recognize Jesus. This is just the application that God showed me in the study time. So here's what I want us to notice tonight. Hang on a minute. The first thing I want to notice is that Mary had come to the tomb with her own intentions at mind. That's all she was concerned about. She had her focus on what was important to her instead of her focus on what is important to Him. She was focused on the things around her, on her good intentions. And I feel a lot of times that we get so wrapped up in our good intentions that we come to church with good intentions and we sing in the choir with good intentions and we teach Sunday school and we do all these things with good intentions, but it may not be exactly where He wants us to be. And we don't want to miss Jesus because we have our sights set on what's important to us of what we have set in our sights. We want to have Him at the forefront of everything and be seeking Him. So that's number one, your focus on what's important to you instead of on what's important to Him. The second thing I've got comes out of verse 12 through 15. And seeth two angels while sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid Him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing Him to be the gardener, saith unto Him, Sir, if thou have borne Him hence, tell me where thou hast laid Him, and I will take Him away. Number two, I didn't want to get up here and call you ignorant, so I called myself ignorant. Number two was my ignorance. My ignorance. And what we are ignoring is the voice of the Holy Spirit. They were not asking Mary, What's wrong, Mary? What are you looking for? They knew. They didn't need her to tell them. They was asking a rhetorical question. They knew exactly what was wrong. They knew who she was looking for. But she was ignorant to the voice of the Holy Spirit trying to speak to her. It happens with me so often, and I don't know why it is, but I'll go back and forth with God. God, He'll give me something that I need to do, and I know it comes straight from Him, and I know I only got one opportunity to do it. But I go back and forth, and I come up with my own objections as to why maybe this isn't the right thing to do, or why ain't this going to work. It's my ignorance of ignoring the Holy Spirit, of ignoring what He's telling me to do for the sake of maybe what somebody else is going to think or what's going on around us. Notice number three, verse 15, the last part of verse 15. She, supposing Him to be the gardener, saith unto Him, Sir, if thou have borne Him hence, tell me where thou hast laid Him, and I will take Him away. Now, this is Jesus she's talking to. Number three is your anger. And this is, again, my opinion, but this is what I've gotten in my study. To me, Mary kind of smarted off to Jesus a little bit. She was irritated. She was frustrated. She just wanted to have her space. She just wanted to cry it out. She wanted to look for Jesus. That's all she wanted to do. And here's somebody chirping in the background. What are you looking for? What's going wrong? What's going on? What are you crying about? And she bit his head off a little bit. She said, did you take him? That's in the Bible, ain't it? If thou have borne him hence, if you took him away, tell me where you took him, and I'll go find him there. That's Jesus she's talking to. So your anger and your bitterness and your discord among the brethren and your discord among the sisters in Christ, are we going to let that get in the way of what God has in store for us? Of being able to see Jesus as it applies in the Scripture? I hope you guys understand what I'm saying. Again, I'm not beating Mary up, but this is just how God applied it to me in my study time. So that's the three things that's going to keep you from recognizing Jesus. So I want us to look at tonight the word recognize. The definition from Google of recognize is to identify someone from having encountered them before. And then it has the little semicolon thing, and it says to know again. So what am I saying tonight? You're not going to recognize somebody that you have never met in the first place. And this is not exactly a salvation message, but this again is just one of them things that's on my heart to preach a little bit of salvation. You need a time and you need a place, and you don't need a time on the watch, but you need somewhere that stands out to you that you can go back to, that you know that you know that you know that Jesus saved you on that very spot. If God gets a hold of you and God changes your life, you're not going to forget it. If you've forgotten about it, I'd get me one that I wouldn't forget. I want to share this tonight. It's on my heart. We'd only been coming to church here third service maybe. And our pastor asked us, y'all want to go to Chick-fil-A after church? I thought he wanted to be friends. He didn't want to be friends. He cared about me. He cared about my soul. He cared about my salvation. He cared about my well-being. Thank God for doing as a preacher and a pastor should do. But we went to Chick-fil-A and we got us some chicken and we ate and we began to talk. We talked about the Lord, and he, as he always does, he straight up asked me, can you share your testimony with me? Can you tell me about when you got saved? And at that time, like I said, we'd only been to church a couple of times, and I wasn't exactly in the place to recall my testimony. It just wasn't at the top of my list at the time. And I began to share with him. I began to tell him of exactly the time of when I got saved. And right somewhere along the middle of that, thank God that I began to recognize Jesus again. I began to be in the middle of sharing my testimony with him and realize that this really happened. Yeah. This is really the time in my life that I got saved. This is coming clear to me again, and I'm able to recognize the person who I'd once lost. And I knew what was coming next because the Holy Spirit told it to me sitting right there. He said, your wife's fixing to get saved. And it was about 45 seconds after that, Jackson turned to Chrissy and, you share your testimony with me? She sat there with a blank staring look on her face. And she began to cry and I began to cry. And before we knew it, she was in the family of God. She was led to the Lord right there on the spot. And at that point, we were equally yoked. We were now together in marriage and in salvation. And through the mercy of God, I was able to come to recognize him again. And I'm telling you tonight, I don't ever want to go back. There's nothing out there for me, and I promise you there's nothing out there for you. It's not a place you want to be. But, as our pastor said it, Mary lost him for 3 days. So if she was that close to Jesus and she knew him all that well, don't think that you're too good to lose sight for just a little while. So if I can sew you back up for a second, here's how you can recognize him. I want you to look in verse 11. John 20, verse 11. It says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stood down and looked into the sepulchre." If you're going to find Jesus, you've got to keep looking. In our common terminology we use around here, she stayed with it. She kept on keeping on. She kept coming back. And look in verse 10 too. John and Peter, and I'm not knocking John and Peter. John and Peter went home. I'd have probably went home too. If I just come to a grave where I knew a man was laying 3 days before and he's not there, I'd have probably went home too. But if my study's correct, they were not the first people recorded to see Jesus. Mary was. Mary stayed. Mary stayed in the tomb. I think it'd do us good tonight, when everybody else leaves, to just stay a little while. To stay in there for a little while. When the people around you leave, when them birds go to chirping and your family starts telling them, "You went to church 3 times last week and you've been to church 3 months in a row. What are you going back for?" "I'm looking for Jesus. I'm just looking for Jesus. I'm trying to get another touch from Jesus." It'd do us good to stay where we're at. And I know that's shallow and it's elementary, but it applies and it works. But if you're going to find Jesus, you've got to keep looking. And number two, stick with me for a second. Don't let me lose you. This is crazy. Number two, if you're going to recognize Jesus, you cannot be spiritually logical. Chris, me and you just lost me. Me and Chris are logical guys. If you've got two and you've got two, I'm probably not going to be convinced that we can get 6 out of it. That makes sense to me, but it don't have to make sense to him. In verse 13, Mary says, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." That's just logical. It's not on her mind that this dead man had rose up again. It's logical thinking that someone must have taken him. That makes sense to me. You can't be logical. You can't be putting your own limitations on what God can do. And that's what I'm so guilty of. And that's what I was getting preached to in this study, is that I'm always coming up with these false scenarios in my head of how God can work things out and just what I need to do to get right where he needs me to be, but coming up with these own scenarios in my head of exactly what God can do and if it makes any sense or not. It doesn't have to make sense, and it's never going to make sense, to be quite honest with you. When he goes to working things out, it never makes sense to me, and it probably don't make sense to you. I got to listening to Logan Buchanan's message earlier this week, and I'd never try and re-preach anything. I'll give credit where credit's due, and he'd preach circles around me. But he preached on John chapter 6 when they fed the 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. And we give those disciples a hard time because they didn't have the faith that they needed to have in Jesus. They had their own limitations on him. We have 200, you know, I think it was Philip had 200 penny worth of wheat, of bread. And Andrew found a lad, he had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And we give those guys a hard time for questioning Jesus, I guess, if you will. This isn't sufficient. This isn't enough. But if you're being honest, and I'm being honest, I know I'd have probably been third in line saying, "Lord, if we put them all together, it's still not enough." You know that. We know that. That's pretty simple math. But it doesn't have to make sense. So I hope that makes sense to you tonight. You can't be spiritually logical. He doesn't need you to be logical. He needs you to have faith in what he can do. And he needs you to be where you need to be at. So number three, I guess a better pinpoint here would be, you need to be obedient. I've got wrote down, when he speaks, you must answer. In verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." She finally answered him. I'll tell you tonight, that was her second chance. So would he give her a third and fourth and fifth? Maybe so. Thank God that we serve a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. But we can't count on that. There may be a time where this is the last chance. This may be your last call. This may be your last opportunity. And we need to live our life knowing that he's calling us for a reason. That he's telling us to do this for a reason. He didn't need Mary's answer. He sure wasn't curious on who she was looking for. He was trying to show her that I'm right here. He was trying to get her attention. And so many times we get blinded with what's in front of us, with what our intentions, where our sights are set on, what makes logical sense, that we can't even see Jesus as he tries to talk to us. So don't get caught begging for a second chance. There was a preacher that was in our church that shared with us that when he had got called to preach, he put it off and put it off and put it off, as you know, probably a normal person would. But that God had spoke to him just as clear as he was standing there that you don't have to surrender, but there will be a day that you're begging me to call you. That's a scary thought in anything. I wouldn't want to be caught up in that. And I want us to be right where we need to be. When the going gets tough, when you get that doctor's report, Miss Lisa, Chrissy, you get that big tax bill, them tax people knocking on the door that you got, they're asking for more money than you got, or your wife gets diagnosed or whatever it might be. I don't want to spend 3 hours or 3 days or 30 days trying to get right. I don't want to spend the time trying to get back to where I need to be to get access. I want to just go right back to the same seat that I was in the morning time or the noon time or a couple hours ago and say, God, it's just me again. I'm right here where I need to be, and I need your help.